Thank you, Bill. If I didn't look at the clock, you'd know it. I may not look closely enough at it, but I look at it. All right, I'm going to ask you to turn to Mark chapter 10 this morning. Mark chapter 10, we're going to just veer off for a week from our study we've been doing, looking at the things that you turned in on the 3x5 cards on the blue sheets. We're going to just go away from that. We have just a couple of more to cover there, but this morning I would like for us to look at another subject. It's a little bit unusual, I guess you might say. The subject's not unusual, but maybe a little bit in the way that we will look at it this morning, the way that we will present it will be somewhat different, and I trust that the difference will be a benefit to us. Mark chapter 10, and we would like to begin our reading at verse 13. Mark 10 and verse 13, and the hymn that we will read of here is the Lord Jesus. Mark 10 and verse 13, "Then they brought little children to him, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, 'Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it.' And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and bless them." When I was a little child, and as I grew up in the Sunday school at Forest Avenue Tabernacle and later here at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel, we sang a song that we've mentioned before here, and it's "Jesus Loves the Little Children." Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. You know, as we read this passage this morning, it takes on more significance when we realize, as we read in the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, that a child was the least significant person in Jewish and Greco-Roman cultures. So during the first century in which the Lord Jesus was here upon the earth, at that time period in history, children were the least significant of all people. But Jesus loved the little children. And we see that here in the passage. When the little children were brought to him, I don't know who brought the little children. We would assume it was the parents of those children. Maybe it wasn't a parent, maybe it was a grandparent, maybe it was an uncle or an aunt, maybe it was a neighbor, maybe it was a friend, maybe it was someone who just cared about this particular little child and brought him or her to the Lord Jesus. These people, whoever they were, that brought these little children, whoever they were, brought them to the Lord Jesus that he might touch them. We find the disciples here, of course, saying no. In essence, the Lord Jesus doesn't have time to be dealing with these least significant people in society, these little children. He's got bigger fish to fry. But the Lord Jesus, we read, was greatly displeased. Some places that word in the Greek in our New Testament is translated as indignant. The Lord Jesus was greatly displeased at their attitude and their response to the little children. And we're very familiar with what he said to them and instructing them. He said, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them." Don't forbid them. The Lord Jesus took those little children up in his arms. He held them. We don't know their age, but they were small enough for him to hold. And he laid his hands on them and he blessed them. What a joy I'm sure that brought to the hearts of those who brought those little children to the Lord Jesus. And what a joy I'm sure it brought to the hearts of those little ones. Jesus loves the little children. And if Jesus loves the children, then surely I should love the children. Surely we should love the children. Surely those who know the Lord Jesus, who are His representatives here upon the earth, surely we should love all the children of the world. We might say, well, children are easy to love, unless you're keeping the nursery. Children are easy to love. You know, it's easy to feel affection for a child. It's easy to have your heartstrings tugged on by a child. But you know, love is action, isn't it? Not just a feeling that we have. You know, Andy and Sharon celebrating all those years, 40, I believe it was, years of marriage. They didn't get through all those years by just feeling love for each other, did they? No, there had to be action. And the Lord Jesus demonstrated His love and action by being accessible to the little children, by rebuking those who would hinder the little children from being brought to Him, by picking them up and holding them, by touching them. Oh, the importance of human touch. We know that. We read stories, we hear reports of little babies in other parts of the world that are kept in orphanages and never touched by a human being, or rarely touched, and how that impacts them. Oh, the importance of human touch, but how much more the importance of the touch of the Lord Jesus in the life of a child. And the Lord Jesus actively placed His hands upon. He had already picked them up. We would say that He had already touched them. But He put His hands upon them and blessed them. We don't know what that blessing was. I would love to have heard what that blessing was that the Lord Jesus put upon those little children. Maybe a different blessing upon each one. But oh, how all the children of the world need the touch of the Lord Jesus in their lives. How they need the blessing of the Lord Jesus in their lives. How they need to be in His arms. I think it's valuable to realize here in verse 14 that when Jesus saw it, He was greatly displeased. And notice what He said to them. He didn't say, "Let these little children come to Me," but "let the little children." I think in that we could see Him including all the children of the world. Children are precious, aren't they? Most of them we would see them and say, that's a valuable person, that little child. And God sees all the children of the world as precious. God also sees the little children of the world as vulnerable. Sadly, how true we understand that to be, even in our own culture, in our own nation. The vulnerability of little children, and the Lord Jesus sees that. God recognizes, as we do, that little children are pliable. Years ago, Kim and I read a book entitled, "Children Are Wet Cement." Wet cement, and whatever you put in that is going to have a great impact on the life of that child. And the Lord Jesus knows that. And He loves the little children. We look at little children and we see potential. Potential. What can be done through the life of this little one? Jesus loves the little children of the world. And as those who know Him, those of us who have been born again, and we've been born into His family, we've been made His children by nothing we have done, but rather we've been born from above. We've been forgiven of our sins because of what the Lord Jesus, who held those little children in His arms, what He did there at the cross of Calvary. After being born as a baby, living as a little child, growing up and never sinning, and going to the cross of Calvary as our substitute, and taking our sins upon Himself, and dying there for the sins of the whole world. Expressing again His love, not only for the little children, but yes, for the little children of the world. And all of us who know Him as Savior, who have received Him as Savior, who have believed on Him as the one who died for us and rose again and shed His blood for us, as we've heard of that blood this morning, Is it our responsibility to love actively the little children of the world? And if it is, as followers of the Lord Jesus, as those who are here representing Him upon this earth, then what is the responsibility of those of us who gather here this morning? In Galatians 6:10, we're charged as believers to, as we have opportunity, do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. This year we're focusing on being an assembly of love, and 1 Thessalonians 3:12 is a verse we have thought about. That prayer that the Lord may make us increase and abound in love to one another and to all. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. But you know, I can't practically, physically love all the children of the world right now, can I? And neither can you. The Lord Jesus didn't pick up and lay His hands on physically and individually bless every child in the world at that time, but His love for all the children could be seen in His actively loving those children that day. You know, I shudder as I think of the words of the Lord Jesus when He said, "Let the little children come unto Me." I don't shudder at that, but I shudder at the next part. Do not hinder them. Do not hinder them. Could I be doing something? Or more likely, could I not be doing something in which I could actually be hindering the little children from coming to Him? As that question is asked, what might I be doing? You might be thinking, I'm doing nothing to hinder them. But again, doing nothing is exactly what sometimes does hinder the little children of the world from coming to Him. James 4:17 tells us, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. In James chapter 1, James challenges us to be doers of the Word and not hearers only, not to just look in the mirror and see what's there and then walk away. We're to bring them to the Lord Jesus. We're to tell them, we're to show them, we're to expose them to the Lord Jesus. Dwight L. Moody, that great evangelist, once said, and you've likely heard this story, but he said that at a certain meeting, 2.5 people were converted to Christ. A friend said, "Oh, I guess you mean 2 adults and a child." And he said, "No, just the opposite, 2 children and an adult." Because when that child is led to the Lord Jesus, a whole life is saved. This morning I want to challenge us as a local assembly and as individuals to consider before the Lord what He would have us to do, what He would have you to do, what He would have me to do. This is something that Kim and I, in our own lives, are working through and praying about and concerned with. How can we best invest our time and our energy and our talents, our affection, our attention, our resources, in order to do all that God wants us to do, including loving all the children of the world? I want to challenge you this morning. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm just going to present some different things that we have in Scripture, and we're going to be using a lot of media this morning. You'll be glad not to have to listen to me as much or to look at me as much, because we're going to be showing a number of things on the screen, and this is somewhat unusual for what we normally do, but I trust it will be effective as we try to bring together a number of different thoughts and give us some ideas about how we should respond. How can we respond? And again, the question for you and for me is, how does God want us individually to respond to be like the Lord Jesus in loving all the children of the world? And there's 4 groups of children I want to talk about this morning. And I want to say from the very beginning that it is not my intention in any way to show pictures or videos of little children to get you emotionally worked up. That is not my intention. I'm not trying to manipulate you through pictures or voices. I want the Spirit of God to do His work, but we will show some things. I'm going to ask you to turn beginning or turn next to Psalm 139. I can see that we're going to be pushed with time. I might take those couple of minutes I'm assuming Bill said I could have. I didn't hear him say it exactly like that, but that seemed to be what he was insinuating. And you're thinking, well, when did you wait for Bill to give you permission? You've been doing it anyway, so. All right, we're going to try our best here. First of all, Psalm 139, we want to think about our responsibility, our opportunity to love all the children who are in the womb. First of all, Psalm 139 in verse 13, and we'll read this with very little comment for sake of time. And here, as David writes by the Spirit of God concerning those in the womb, and we were all there one time. Verse 13, speaking to God, "For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great are the sum of them." The babies in the womb, the little children who have not yet been born. We have an opportunity the first Sunday of every October, and our local assembly has been involved in this for a number of years, to speak up silently for the unborn children at the Life Chain for an hour on Battleground Avenue. Sanctity of Life Sunday, as it's called, is the third Sunday in January, January 15th this coming year, a day when many would try to focus the attention of the believers on this issue of the sanctity of life and babies in the womb. There's an opportunity to educate others, and we're going to begin our media presentation this morning with just a short excerpt from a new DVD entitled 180. 180. I actually have a couple of copies left of this 33-minute DVD that I would encourage you as it compares the Holocaust in Germany during World War II to the Holocaust that's going on concerning abortion today. So we're going to show just a little brief that Ray Comfort, who does this, he is interviewing people at Huntington Beach, California, outside, and we're going to see him just as he talks to one young lady for just a few moments.
You think it's a baby in the womb?
Yes.
So what justification is there for killing a baby in the womb? Can you think of one?
For killing a baby in the womb. Well, I think everyone's situation is...
Give me a situation where you could say, yep, that's justifiable. You can kill that baby because of...
You know what? I can't think of one.
Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, including those unborn babies. How tragic it is in our culture and our nation that so many children, their lives are taken. We have the opportunity, the privilege to speak up. As we read in Proverbs 24, verses 11 and 12, we're to deliver those who were drawn toward death and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, surely we did not know this, does not he who weighs the hearts consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? All the children who are in the womb. Secondly, I would like for us to consider very briefly our responsibility to love all the children who are in your home. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21, we read this instruction, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." We've recently looked at, from the blue sheet, from some of the cards, we've thought some about the children who were in the home and some attacks of Satan regarding families. And I have mentioned several times, including last Sunday, the movie Courageous, which is presently showing. And I don't mean to single out fathers. We know how important, how valuable mothers are. But interestingly, in the New Testament, just in these two passages we've seen, the responsibility that comes to the father. If there's a father in the home, the responsibility in leading. And I want us just to look very briefly at a quick trailer of this movie, Courageous. If you've not seen it yet, talk to somebody who has seen it. And I hope that this will encourage you to go. It's playing over in a theater at Friendly Center here in Greensboro.
For your arrest.
Back door! Back door!
Deputy Thompson has now survived his rookie year.
I guess that means you can start using real bullets now.
When you get married, have some kids, you're gonna figure out real quick how much you don't know.
You missed Emily's piano recital.
Can I talk to you?
Can I suggest that you spend a little more time with him?
All he wants to do is play video games and go run 5 miles.
What are you doing home?
They let me go.
Do you really feel like it messed up your childhood not having a dad?
More than you know.
Adam, I need you to come with me right now.
Man, if it wasn't for my family, I'd be in a tailspin right now.
You do heal. But you're never the same.
I want to know what God expects of me.
My life is leading me down the road.
I've been doing about half of what I should have been doing as a dad.
You're being too hard on yourself.
Now I am
Revolution?
Yeah.
You've been a good enough father.
I don't want to be a good enough father.
Can I say this too?
Trying to find my
I don't feel like I started well. I want to finish well.
You gonna do this? Then do it right. Something like this needs ceremony.
I feel like a rich man.
As your father, I want the very best for you. I promise to take care of you.
So where are you, men of courage? I believe every father should step up and answer the call. And to say, I will. I will.
A challenge to more deeply, a more proactively, a more biblically love all the children who are in your home. Thirdly, just very briefly, I would like to challenge us and encourage us concerning loving all the children who are in your sphere of influence. The young lives that are close to you, your extended family, those in your neighborhood, your community, and here in this assembly. The old African or possibly Native American proverb, "It takes a whole village to raise a child," has been somewhat hijacked into the political realm, but the truth is still there. The importance of helping one another, of being involved in the lives of other children. Just as we saw in our text this morning in Mark chapter 10, the Lord Jesus, loving those children, they weren't His children. He didn't father those children. They were not physically related to Him as far as we know, but He loved those children in His sphere of influence, and He did that actively. We have a Sunday school here. You saw many of those children walk out of here this morning to go to the classes. Somebody has to teach those classes. Invest in those young people. There are people at every meeting here keeping the nursery, and they're investing in the lives of those children. Our Sunday night Honeybees program and Kids for Christ and Youth Alive. Again, people investing their time and their abilities and their love into the lives of young people in their spheres of influence. The van ministry here, the mentoring opportunities, including at-risk kids. Our vacation Bible school, the kids' outreaches and kids' clubs that are going on now with the Good News on the Move team helping us. Child Evangelism Fellowship this past Wednesday was their International Day of Prayer, praying for that ministry around the globe, but for us in a special way, right here locally. Praying for the Kids' Spectacular this Saturday, when we hope that thousands of children, not from far away, but thousands of children from this area will come and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that by grace they can be saved through faith, and that's not of themselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any of them should ever think they can get into heaven by boasting before God. Child Evangelism Fellowship has an Adopt the School program where the schools locally will allow local churches to come in after school and teach the Word of God to children. And I'm burdened that our local assembly can do that. What an opportunity to love all the children who are in our spheres of influence. And finally, I would like for us to think just a moment about the opportunities that are available in loving all the children who are in the world. Just like the little song goes, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Those even who are in the uttermost part or the end of the earth, as we read in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, that those who know the Lord Jesus have received power because the Holy Spirit has come upon us and we are witnesses to Him. Yes, in Jerusalem, in our local spheres of influence, in Judea and Samaria, but also to the end of the earth. There's a ministry that we seek to be involved in every year, Operation Christmas Child. And this is going to tell just very quickly about that ministry. Some of you are very familiar with it, others may not. Here's a way you can reach to the uttermost parts of the earth and love the little children.
It starts with a simple gift that carries a powerful message that God loves you and your greatest journey is still to come. It's Operation Christmas Child.
The power of a simple gift. We know here at Operation Christmas Child that God can take the shoebox that you have filled and that He can take that box and He can use it to transform lives.
For more than 18 years, Operation Christmas Child has been reaching children in over 130 countries with gift-filled shoeboxes and the gospel.
When they receive a box, it is a message of the gospel, because the box tells them that Jesus loves them. The opening of the box tells them of the hidden treasures that are in God's love and in the relationship that they will have with Jesus Christ.
Operation Christmas Child is just like no other project. You got kids that received absolutely nothing. It's been a rough year for all of them. And this one moment in time,
you can just see things that we take for granted every day
can change a kid's life.
I see glory in their eyes, I see joy in their spirits, and you hear expressions of, oh, I wanted this all the time. I never had this.
For the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you.
It's okay.
Thank you.
Opportunity by packing little gifts, almost insignificant in our eyes, that most of us wouldn't even think about giving to our own children for Christmas. and yet so precious to these little children around the world. But more precious than that, the gospel message that they get in written form that comes with that in their own language, and the opportunity to be involved in a correspondence Bible club and to learn more about the Lord Jesus. I wish I had time to read some of the testimonies of the lives of children that have been transformed. The uttermost part of the earth, supporting missionaries like our own Stephen Roten, who's down in Tijuana primarily working with children, Spanish-speaking, and many other missionaries around the world. And then there are the orphans. I'm going to ask you to turn to James 1:27. All the children of the world include those children who the Scripture often refers to as fatherless. Many people around the country today and even around the world are actually celebrating today as what is sometimes called Orphan Sunday, to bring attention to the issue of orphans, of the fatherless around the world. And in James chapter 1, James writing, and we'll just go right down because of time and read verse 27, but I encourage you to read some of the verses we referred to earlier back up in the chapter, starting with 21. But look at verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. A life of holiness, a life of moral purity, a life that honors the Lord Jesus, being light rather than darkness, and reaching out to those who don't have spouses, who don't have parents, and even to those who don't have fathers. You know, the Lord Jesus didn't leave us as orphans. John 14:18, we have in the King James, "I will not leave you comfortless." But literally translated, "I will not leave you orphans." All the children in our world today growing up without, many of them just without a father, many without either parent. We're going to look now very quickly at a video as part of a DVD called Answer the Cry concerning orphans.
Since the fall, there have always been children that have been left alone or vulnerable. The Bible refers to them as fatherless or orphans.
My dad died when I was 5 years old.
We got kicked out of our apartment when I was 5. We ended up in an abandoned apartment with strangers until the police came and got us.
I was left at the orphanage when I was 3 weeks old.
The fatherless, orphans, have always been on God's heart.
I realized that I was going to be sent to an orphanage.
The workers would hold the babies, so I would hold them.
Sometimes, at our first foster home, I would sit at the edge of the bed at night and cry out for my mom.
God has always expected His people to care and provide for orphans.
As time went on, I realized that I was extremely lonely, and I wanted a family.
The early church responded to God's call. There were accounts of the early church taking in children who had been rejected by their Roman fathers and left to die outside the city. In fact, the early church became known for taking in the destitute and helpless.
There was a missionary family that came to the orphanage.
After a couple of weeks, we were taken to a new foster home.
They were different from other people who worked in the orphanage.
Fast forward a few centuries. At some point, something changed. The church got away from caring for orphans as we had in the past, leaving it to others.
Why are we not able to give every single one of these children a home?
The church is it. The church is the only thing on earth that can reach all of the world's orphans.
The example of the early church and the way that they took the words of the Lord Jesus through James seriously. Think of George Mueller. Many years after the early church, but over in Bristol, England, a man in fellowship in a local assembly, something like this, known worldwide for his involvement with orphans. The House of Grace Orphanage in India, which we have helped with and heard a report on here at our assembly on a Wednesday night. many other opportunities to be involved in caring for orphans around the world. Many missionaries involved in orphan care. Our own Bobby Mitchell involved with the Baptist Children's Home and the work that they're doing there, seeking to be a part of ministering to the fatherless. Foster parenting. This weekend at the men's retreat, I was talking with a brother who he and his wife are in fellowship in the Danville Assembly. They're a little bit older than me, and they're still taking in foster babies and caring for those children and loving them until they either go back to their homes or they're adopted. Adoption. I talked to another brother there who's in the assembly at Reedsville, and he and his wife have adopted 4 children already locally. The president of Focus on the Family shared how their ministry decided to check and see how many children waiting for adoption there were in the state of Colorado. They said, we ought to be able to take care of this, the believers in the local churches. David Platt, who's involved in a ministry in Birmingham, Alabama, he wrote a book, and I was reading that book this spring, and in there he shares how he called his local county social service and said, how many adoptive families do you need? The lady laughed at first, but later she cried when she shared 150 would be a miracle. And they had a meeting. They said, 2 weeks from the day, if the people in this local church, if you'd like to meet and learn more about this, 160 families showed up. And the Lord can do that. There are 2,700 children in North Carolina waiting for families to adopt them. I don't know how many of those are in Guilford County. And then there's international adoption. Larry and Gina Allen in our assembly, 4 times they've been to China, each time coming back with an orphan. Finally, I'm going to take this couple extra minutes just as we finish up, but I just want to bring our attention to one other group of children. And it's the children who are a part of the persecuted church. Next Sunday is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. And this month, as an assembly of love, we're seeking to focus on those who are a part of the persecuted church as the ones that we can love as our neighbors. And so I want to show you very briefly a video, and then we actually have another video after that. I'll make just a couple of comments and we'll close with that. But first of all, a quick video about the persecuted church.
All over the world, our brothers and sisters in Christ are being arrested, beaten, and killed because of their love, devotion, and witness for Jesus Christ. Do you hear their cry?
As I think about our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world, believers in places like Afghanistan and Iraq and Iran and Nigeria and on the Arabian Peninsula and North Korea, suffering persecution, affliction from their government, persecution from their culture, their community, sometimes their families, imprisonment, physical abuse, the loss of job, no way for income, experiencing violence, the destruction of property, and even murder. And then children, directly because of their own testimony, if they're old enough to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, or maybe because of their parents' testimony, or indirectly because of the persecution their parents are receiving, children watching their parents being shot in North Korea and Laos and Sudan and Burma, kids in poverty because they are part of a Christian family in Pakistan and India and Egypt. Christian teen girls abducted and forced to marry Muslim men who often have multiple wives, with the police seldom intervening. Got a little fella that's going to just share some thoughts about children affected by the persecuted church, and then we'll close.
Once upon a time in a land called Colombia, there was a girl called Sophia. Sophia's mummy and daddy were leaders of a church, but there were some men who didn't want them to talk about Jesus. And one day, these men came to their village.
Mis padres estaban preparando para ser pastores. Me daban consejos, me ayudaban en el estudio, siempre me trataban bien. Yo estaba donde una vecina, yo había salido. Y después cuando sonaron todos los tiros, entonces yo me asusté y fui a preguntar por mi mamá y mi papá. Y cuando vi a mi mamá, simplemente ella respiraba. Entonces yo al verla así, yo quería como hablar con ella y pues la gente no me dejaba. Decía, ay, déjeme de entrar. Quería hablar con mi papá, porque mi papá sí podía hablar. Él decía que no sentía las manos, que lo llevaran rápido al hospital. Y yo quería hablar con él y no me dejaron hablar con él. Entonces, los hermanos de la iglesia vinieron y hicimos una oración por mi papá y por mi mamá. Y después a la hora, me llegaron a mí con la noticia de que mi mamá había fallecido. Entonces ahí fue donde yo dije, pero no se supone que cuando uno le pide a Dios, Dios lo responde. ¿Por qué sería que Dios no respondió nuestra oración?
All over the world, children are suffering because they follow Jesus. They grow up in Christian homes, or their parents become Christians. Or they make their own choice to follow Jesus. But they have one thing in common. They pay a high price for their faith. Some are orphans, their parents murdered. Some have their mother or father taken away from them and put in a prison. Some are excluded from school. Some have to leave their homes and move far away, and some just disappear. They're the secret children, the hidden victims. They never get three wishes, they never get happily ever afters, and they never get fairy tale endings. And we want to tell you their stories.
Again, it's not my intent to seek to manipulate emotionally in any way, but there is emotion involved when children are involved, and we see around the world that they're suffering. How can we love them? I ask you just to close your eyes and bow your heads. We're going to close in prayer and just encourage you between you and the Lord. Maybe something that's been shared this morning in some way has the Lord has used it to prick your heart, to prompt you in a way that you can more directly love the little children of the world. Father, we thank you for the time that we've had together today. I thank you for these ones who've gathered here and, Father, have listened to your word and seen these testimonies and, Father, recognize the opportunities. Father, we don't want to look in the mirror and then walk away and forget what we saw. We want to be doers of the word as well as hearers. We thank you for the example of the Lord Jesus. And we thank you for the love that he has put in our hearts for others. Father, particularly that we might share the gospel with them, but also that we might minister to them in practical ways, that we might bring them to you, that we might take them up in our arms and touch them and bless them. Father, use us for your glory. Direct us according to your will. We commend ourselves to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.